My name is Chris Harper. I'm the station manager here at Harvest Family Radio. Glad to be with you throughout this week, celebrating our 30th anniversary. This station began broadcasting March 26th, 1996. Throughout this week, we're praising the Lord for what He has done through our ministry, and much of what He has done has been through the speakers and teachers faithful to the Word of God that present messages here. One you hear regularly is Dr. Doug McLaughlin on his program called Living Redemptively. Now, that program has aired twice a day for many years here on KHMG and is the favorite of many. It was produced right here in our Barragatta studios by former staff members Zach Thompson and John Collier. Dr. McLaughlin has been a friend to our ministry for a long time. In fact, he came to visit Guam back in 2009 and sat down with our former pastor, Marty Heron, for the program Harvest Time. I thought it might be helpful and encouraging to hear that interview again here during our 30th year. Dr. McLaughlin has ministered so faithfully to the people of Guam through the years. This short interview will help you get to know him a little more while he was here, while he was in our studios. Now, this interview is from 2009, so just keep that in mind. And the other voices you hear will be that of Pastor Marty Heron and former station manager John Collier. Dr. McLaughlin was asked to start with his testimony.
Well, I'm happy to do it. I was born and raised in Flint, Michigan area in the United States, and raised in a little town called Montrose, Michigan, a little distance outside of Flint, Michigan. And my father was raised in a home where my father was a bartender. My grandfather was a gangster of all things in Detroit. And I came to personal faith in Jesus Christ as a 16-year-old teenager through the influence of a church plant, a church that was being planted in my home community. And there was a dynamic group of young people in that local church who were very authentic and deeply devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they began to bear witness to me and to multiples of others in our public high school. This was way back in the 1950s. And as I said to some of our people just yesterday, I think, in one of the sessions, Jesus said that Christians are salt and light, and that's exactly what that group of young people was. And the light that was in them was a rebuke to the darkness that was in me. And I was attracted to that light just like a moth is attracted to light. And the salt that they were gave me a thirst for what they had. And as I was attracted to that group, ultimately I was attracted to the one who had touched and transformed their lives, and that was Jesus Christ. So 50 years ago, half a century ago, when I was 16 years old, I placed my faith in Jesus Christ on the Sunday before Christmas 1957. It's been a 50-year rush for me, a dynamite experience. And that's where the journey began for me. There's an initial step, the development of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, acknowledging that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior, and that Jesus Christ is that Savior. And the Christian faith is all about Jesus Christ. Christianity is Christ. It's a person and a personal relationship with Him. Christianity is not primarily, creed, code of conduct, cluster of ceremonies, not church, although all of those things probably have their place. But all of those things apart from Jesus Christ mean nothing. Christianity is Christ, a person and a personal relationship with Him. And I established, by the grace of God, that personal relationship half a century ago when I was a 16-year-old boy.
Well, how in the world, moving from a 16-year-old boy in that kind of background to now finding yourself pastoring for at least a quarter century and more, and of recent have passed that mantle on to others, how did you get to that point then to say, I want to do ministry and go into ministry full-time vocationally?
You know, from the very beginning, I had a drivenness to serve Christ's cause, right from the beginning of my Christian experience. And the pastor that led me to Christ was a graduate of the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And when he sensed that burden in me and affirmed it for me, he recommended I begin my educational journey there. So I went off to Moody Bible Institute way back in early 1960s. And graduated from there, or just erupted with growth under the influence of the teaching of the Word of God that I received on that occasion. And then went on from there to a secular college, to another Christian college, and then on to Central Seminary in Minneapolis, and making ready for Christian ministry. and graduated in June of 1970 from Central Baptist Theological Seminary in Minneapolis. And 2 months later, I was pastoring a church in a little southern Minnesota community called New Ulm, Minnesota. And that was the beginning of the journey for me, missionally speaking and pastorally speaking. I've had the privilege of pastoring 3 churches, First Baptist Church of New Ulm, Minnesota, and then Bethany Baptist Church of Grand Blanc, Michigan, which is right outside of Flint, Michigan, south suburb of Flint, and then the Fourth Baptist Church in Minneapolis originally, but now in Plymouth, Minnesota, since we've relocated that ministry.
And out of Fourth Baptist Church, maybe we'll call a sabbatical between your first and second coming, as we're teaching on the college level, and your own wife was the vital office manager for us in one of those departments there. But that also, I think, put you in a place of putting out a book, which was, I think, helpful and continually is out there. But coming back into the pastorate and also carrying the mantle of the president of Central Baptist Seminary, what pushed you towards the need for teaching another generation as far as the college level and then seminary as well?
I don't think there's hardly a better thing that we could do than to equip a new generation of people to do ministry from a biblical format, people who are deeply committed to the absolutes of Scripture, who want to ground their ministry on a rich theological base, confidence in God and the triune Godhead, a proper understanding of salvation and all the implications of that. So there's just a great joy in equipping people with the Word of God and that rich theological base to go out and do missional ministry, whether locally for us in those days in the United States or globally. And there's just something wonderfully rewarding about having the opportunity and privilege to do that. And I think that's a biblical mandate. Mm-hmm. We're to teach others also. We're to communicate to them what God has taught us so that they can teach others also in successive mm-hmm. generations.
You know, John, I know you had a few questions that might be interrelated to the radio program that Dr. Mack has done over the years. But before we get to that, let me put one other question, Doc, and that's in relationship to your view of churches today. Here you are at 66, not 26. What differences do you see in ministry now than maybe weren't the same then?
Well, there's no doubt that the world has changed over these last, 38 years. I started in 1970 in formal ministry right after I graduated from Central Seminary. And there's no doubt that the world has changed. The philosophical soil of most of our cultures is scorched with a kind of secularism or what's called postmodernism or post-Christian ideas, rejection of absolute truth, so that the soil is less receptive to the seed of the gospel that we want to sow into it. It complicates ministry, I think. And the ministry is complicated as well by the complexity of the theological world, not only the philosophical soil of the secular society, but the growing complexity of the theological world inside the body of Christ and outside of it, religions outside of the body of Christ. And unfortunately, there's a good deal of concessive or, do I dare say, compromising views even inside the body of Christ, and a good deal of pragmatism that's crept in inside the body of Christ, which I think represents or bespeaks or is evidence of a loss of confidence in the efficacy of the gospel and the power of the Word of God, and trying to substitute for that and compensate for that through pragmatic methodologies and so on. All of that, I don't know if anything I'm saying here makes any sense, but all of that complicates the world of ministry for pastors in the 21st century, which means they need good preparation and a very accurate rudder set, which is anchored to the absolutes of Scripture and to the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Well, the interview you're listening to is from a 2009 Harvest Time with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Now, he is heard twice a day, weekdays, here on KHMG, and has been for many years. Former station manager John Collier asked him at one point to explain the name of his program. And some, even longtime listeners, may not have heard this, So here's John to introduce that question.
I do have a question, though. When we first started the program, we came up with the title Living Redemptively. Perhaps you could explain to our listeners what that term means to you and how you came up with those, you know, coining of, I mean, Dr. McLaughlin, I do a lot of the introduction vocals for the program, and there are a lot of words. I mean, you come up with some words, word plays, I don't know what word is, wordsmith.
I think he makes them up. You go look up some of those, John, well, in the dictionary not, here, but think, that's okay, because someone's made up words over the years. These are good. These are packed.
Exactly.
They're packed full.
I think redemptively, I'm not, there's certain things, it's like there's redemption, there's redemption, redemptively. It's like you took a verb or a word and you made it into an adjective or whatever. Tell us what living redemptively, what does that mean to you?
Well, redemption to me in its most basic sense means rescue. It's a rescue operation. And I think that's why Jesus Christ left us here. He left us here to, what, embrace first the great commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And because we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we love our neighbor as ourselves. We're burdened for people. We're missionally driven. And that's what living redemptively is to me. It's becoming a part of the rescue operation, taking whatever steps are necessary to bring to as many people as possible in ways that are God-glorifying and God-honoring, truth-based and Holy Spirit-energized, bringing to as many people as possible the message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So living redemptively, in my mind, means being a part of the rescue operation, doing everything we can to liberate people from the prison house of sin and introduce them to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
We're celebrating our 30th anniversary here at Harvest Family Radio, listening to an interview with Dr. Doug McLaughlin from 2009 on Harvest Time. It's wonderful to hear the stories and testimonies of those who minister to listeners on Guam. Now, you can hear Dr. Doug McLaughlin every weekday at 3:45 a.m. and 2:45 p.m. here on 88.1 FM. And khmg.org. If you'd like to give to Harvest Family Radio, you can do so at khmg.org when you just click give.